Horseweed drifted through the trees like Owl's shadow, stepping toe first, checking the ground before he lowered his heel. He couldn't even hear his own movements, so he knew that she couldn't either. Nevertheless, if she turned at just the right moment, she might catch sight of him. He slowed down, stopping briefly behind a tree trunk so that he blended with the night. The young woman and the dog followed a deer trail that wound from meadow to meadow through the timber. 2 fingers of time ago, he'd seen her face reflecting in the moonlight and had started following her. She didn't have a baby with her, but she carried an atlatl and a long dart in her right hand. He felt almost certain that she was Kestrel, the trader Lambkill's wife. She fit the description perfectly. Her beauty stunned him, as did her dress. He'd seen that shirt many times before. Sunchaser wore it when he led the mammoth spirit dances. Had she stolen it? Maybe she'd killed Sunchaser, the way she'd killed Harrier's brother, and taken the shirt. Anger and fear warmed his veins. The woman he saw now seemed incapable of the strength necessary to drive a taper-bone stiletto into a grown man's chest with her bare hands. But looks could be deceiving. Horseweed took a dart from the quiver on his back and knocked his atlatl. Bending low, he crept by a lichen-covered boulder. On the other side, he cautiously peered around the gritty curve of the stone. The woman had stopped and crouched down to touch something on the ground. She lifted her fingers and stared at them. The dog bounded back and forth in front of her. The woman stood.
Where is he, helper? Take me to him, hurry!
She ran forward as the dog led the way through the dense underbrush and into the lurking shadows of the towering pines. When they'd almost vanished behind a huge tumbled pile of dead wood, Horseweed rose. His pulse roared in his ears.
Helper?
Sunchaser's dog was named Helper. Could it be the same animal? So what was going on? The tone of her voice was worried, like a mother for a child, or a wife for a husband. Prickles of unease traced patterns down Horseweed's back. Witching, hunted women, the mammoth suicides. And he was right in the middle of it all. Horseweed ran lightly down the trail the woman had taken, then ducked from one tree to the next as he followed her. Where had she gone? He squinted into the darkness. The sound of the dog gave him a target in the blackness. Horseweed crept closer, then stopped when he saw her feet sticking out from beneath a head-high stack of deadfall. She'd left her atlatl and dart on the ground outside. Her moccasins had dark, wet splotches on the bottoms. In the moonlight, the splotches looked like blood. Horseweed gripped his weapons more tightly.
Oh, Sunchaser! No! No! Helper, go around me! You have to get out so I'll have enough room to drag him! Move!
When Helper saw Horseweed, the hair on his back stuck straight up. Horseweed knelt and extended a hand.
Come here, boy. It's all right. I'm a friend. You remember me?
That's when he saw the broken dart shaft. It lay at his feet, in a puddle of old blood. What had the dart struck? An animal? Or a human predator? Helper stepped toward Horseweed to sniff his hand. He wagged his tail. Just then, the woman's head appeared at the end of the logs. Long hair trailed around her. Her eyes had dilated enormously. As she crawled out, Horseweed could see the tears that streaked her cheeks.
Who are you?
She'd hooked her atlatl on her belt. Her hands were empty.
Never mind. Come over here. I need help now.
Horseweed put his dart back into his quiver and tied his own atlatl to his belt thong, then walked over cautiously and knelt beside her. He could smell the pungent scent of blood.
Who's in there? Is it Sunchaser?
Yes. Do you know him? You told Helper you were a friend. That's the only reason I didn't dart you when I first came out.
I know Sunchaser.
Then please help me, please. He's injured and unconscious. That space is big enough for only one person, and I don't think I can manage to drag him out.
Let me try.
She rose and stepped aside. Horseweed glanced at her as he tentatively placed his atlatl and knocked dart on the ground beside her weapons. She didn't seem to notice. Her eyes were riveted on the pile of deadfall. He got down on his stomach and crawled into the dark womb formed by the fallen trees and tangled branches. Thin lances of moonlight pricked the darkness. The scents of moss and pack rat dung mixed eerily with the pungency of blood. Sunchaser was lying on his left side, one arm stretched out. His clothing had been torn to shreds, baring his chest. Horseweed scrambled forward. Claw marks covered Sunchaser's arms and legs. Horseweed touched one of the dark pools that glistened on the ground. It felt sticky and cold.
Sunchaser.
He couldn't see Sunchaser's face very clearly, but the dreamer's deep-set eyes looked sunken, and blood spattered his square chin and white hair. A staccato of fear began to beat in Horseweed's chest. Sunchaser wasn't dead, was he? No. No, the wounds didn't look that severe. Still, Horseweed reached out and placed his fingers against Sunchaser's throat. Relief spread through him when he felt the steady rhythm of a heartbeat. He let his hand sink to the ground.
Sunchaser!
Hurry!
The woman knelt in the entryway.
Get him out of there so I can have a good look at his wounds.
Bringing him out safely isn't going to be that easy. I'm going to need your help so we don't break the wounds open again when we move him. He can't afford to lose more blood.
The moon glow seemed brilliant compared to the darkness of the deadfall. An old forest giant, its trunk as thick as three men, had fallen here, toppling the lesser trees around it. For a moment, he studied the dead wood, then looked at the woman.
If you can go in first and get above Sunchaser's head, then fold his arms over his chest and keep them there. I can pull on his feet. I'm afraid his tattered sleeves might get caught on a snag and do more damage than...
I understand. Get out of my way so I can get inside.
Horseweed leaned sideways and she pushed past him.
I'm here, Sunchaser. You're going to be all right. Don't worry. I'm here.
Horseweed rolled to his belly and peered into that blackness. He could see the woman. She had gently lifted Sunchaser's white head so she could ease around him into the niche at the opposite end of the hole. Two splintered branches had been driven into the ground by their fall, creating a V-shaped space barely large enough to admit her. She stroked Sunchaser's cheek gently before she carefully arranged his arms over his chest. Horseweed's brows lowered. Even an idiot could have told from the tone of her voice and the way she touched Sunchaser that they were lovers. No matter how unlikely it seemed that Sunchaser would have taken a lover.
I'm ready. As you pull, I'll hold his arms.
Let me get a good grip on his feet.
He reached in and clamped his fingers around Sunchaser's ankles, holding them just beneath the torn flesh of the calves. The blood made his hands slippery.
I'm going to start pulling.
Go ahead.
Horseweed tugged, and Sunchaser came slowly. The woman held the wounded dreamer's arms to his chest with one hand, while she used the other to cushion his head. When at last Horseweed had managed to pull Sunchaser out into the moonlight, the woman fell by Sunchaser's side to check his wounds.
You're Lamkill's wife, aren't you?
She didn't even look up. She held out a hand.
Give me your knife, a sharp flake, anything. I need to cut his sleeve to bind his arm wound.
Horseweed reached into his pouch, located his chert-bladed knife, and gave it to her. She sawed off a square of Sunchaser's sleeve, revealing the deep slashes. Gore and old pine needles had clotted together to form thick mounds on his upper arm. She cut the ends of the square, then wrapped the piece around Sunchaser's arm and tied the split ends.
We can't risk washing any of his injuries here. We'll have to get him to your village, where he can be properly cared for. I'll need to make a poultice to find the right plants to heal him. Pray that evil spirits don't smell the blood and come to feast before we have a chance to clean and bind his wounds.
Horseweed rose. Helper sat a few hands away, his black ears up.
Cut a handful of fringes from his jacket. We'll need them to tie a travois together. I'll start looking for dead saplings for the poles.
She stroked Sunchaser's bloody hair, clearly reluctant to move away from him.
I saw a small grove of pine saplings up the trail. From the looks of it, the big trees starved them of light.
She hesitated, biting her lip.
Wait, I'll come with you. It will be quicker that way.
Horseweed stood quietly waiting for her, watching her rise to her feet and clench her hands into fists. She had to be around his age, maybe a little older, 15 or 16 summers. What was it about her that touched him so deeply? He didn't have enough experience with women to understand the effect she had on him. The way she moved, her gestures, all gave the appearance of a little girl dressed up as a woman. And yet something about her went straight to his heart with the sharpness of an obsidian dart point. Hastily, he stepped out.
Which way did you say those poles were?
She led the way, and Horseweed followed her to the grove. The gray skeletons of 6 small trees had reached nearly 15 hands in height before they'd starved in the shadow of a sequoia. They would do. The woman pushed the first tree over until the base cracked. Horseweed toppled another as Kestrel snapped off the thin, dry branches. They worked in silence until they'd knocked down and stripped four of the trees.
Well, that will be enough. We'll use the two longest poles for the sides, then we'll snap the two smaller trees into segments, and then we'll lash them to the side poles to make six inner rungs.
Oh, good. Give me the small ends, you take the big.
Horseweed began to gather the saplings.
Your husband is waiting for you on the trail ahead, do you know that?
Yes, I know.
You don't have to go into camp with me if you don't want to. I can take Sunchaser by myself. In fact, if I were you, I'd find a place in the forest to hide. My grandfather is the chief of the Otter Clan village. He gave your husband and the Blackwater Draw men until the day after tomorrow to wait for you. Then they must leave. It will be safer for you to come in after they're gone.
Please, I don't want to think about that yet. When we get closer to the village, I'll decide.
Horseweed turned his attention to the task at hand, retracing the path toward the pile of deadfall. Glancing back, he noted the set of her shoulders, the way she walked with bowed head. Horseweed turned away. Helper had lain down by Sunchaser's side and propped his muzzle on Sunchaser's shoulder. They lowered the poles.
The decision is yours, of course, but you should know that my grandmother is on your side. She...
Your grandmother? Who is she? What does she know of me?
Her name is Sumac. She is the matron of our clan. I don't know how much she knows about you, only what your husband and the Blackwater Draw men have told her.
Then, you're Oxbaum's grandson.
Yes. How do you know of my grandfather?
Sunchaser told me about him. He has great respect for Oxbaum. What's your name?
Horseweed.
So, Horseweed, what have my husband and these other men told the Otter Clan about me?
Horseweed shrugged as he picked up one of the smaller poles, studying its shape in the darkness.
Your husband has accused you of incest, and he said that you claim to be related to our clan. Harrier says you killed his younger brother, Buffalo Bird. Both said you had a baby with you.
So you know my name?
They said it was Kestrel.
Yes, that's right.
Horseweed placed the pole just so, its end on one of the fallen logs, and jumped on the middle of it.
I'll need those strips of leather to lash on the rungs.
She tenderly ran her fingers over the long fringes that made up the hem of Sunchaser's bloody shirt, then deftly cut off several of them. She did it reverently, as if each were a ceremonial object, specially blessed by the spirits. And perhaps they had been at that. Horseweed couldn't count the number of sacred songs he'd heard Sunchaser sing to Mammoth above while he'd worn that shirt. He stood awkwardly, feeling guilty that she had to savage that shirt for a travois. She handed the knife back.
I'll tie on these lower three rungs if you tie the top ones.
All right.
Horseweed took six of the strips of hide from her and laid the side poles out, forming a steep angle. Then he placed the rungs and lashed them securely, making certain that the top rung was wide enough for his hips. Kestrel triple-wrapped the ends of the bottom rungs before she knotted the hide strips.
Don't you want to know why my grandmother is on your side?
Horseweed rose and dragged the finished travois over beside Sunchaser's tall body. Kestrel walked around Horseweed and very gently rolled Sunchaser onto his side.
Push the travois beneath him.
When Horseweed had the litter positioned, she rolled Sunchaser to his back again, suspended over five of the rungs. His arms flopped lifelessly. She carefully bent his long legs so they wouldn't drag on the ground. Rising, she unlaced the small pack from around her waist and placed it beneath Sunchaser's head as a pillow.
He looks so pale.
He'll live, I'm sure of it. We just have to get him to my grandmother. Sumac will take good care of him.
Is she a healer?
No, but she knows how to take care of people. She's very good at it. She raised me and my brother and my sister after our parents died.
She sounds like a good woman. A woman who loves children. Come on, then. Let's get moving.
Horseweed picked up his weapons, put his dart in his quiver, and tied his atlatl to his belt thong. Then he handed the woman her own weapons.
Thank you. After the things you've heard about me, I'm surprised that you would give me back my weapons.
Horseweed lifted the narrow end of the travois and ducked under it so that the top rung pressed against his waist and the poles rested over his hips. The ends of the poles provided handholds.
It is because I've met your husband that I gave them back, Kestrel. Well, you may need them.
He walked forward slowly, testing the travois strength. The litter seemed stable. He pulled it out onto the trail, feeling the heavy drag. He squinted at the moonlit path. all of it uphill. He'd make it to the village all right. Somehow, some way, he'd summon the strength and endurance, but it wouldn't be fun. Kestrel walked beside Sunchaser, her weapons in one hand and the other hand knotted in what remained of his left sleeve, making certain that his limp body didn't slide off the travoy when they hit irregularities in the trail. Helper trotted in front, scouting the path with his nose in the air. When Horseweed reached the top of the first rise, he stopped to take a look out over the vista.
Oh!
Kestrel stepped to the side. Horseweed glanced around.
Oh, this must be where he was attacked. Here, in the middle of the rise. That doesn't make sense. Predators generally hunt from the shadows, from ambush, not from the open.
Horseweed threw himself back into his labor, the eerie wrongness clinging to his soul like morning dew to a spiderweb. Somewhere out there, a wounded animal hid. It would be angry and in pain, eager to even the score. He glanced down at his atlatl on his belt, making certain it would be close at hand if needed. It would be hard to draw a dart from his quiver, however, while hauling the litter. He leaned into the rung over his waist and tugged the travoy down the slope and across a field of wildflowers. Too many things were happening, as if all the world were coming undone. And yes, he was right in the middle of it.
Did you commit incest?
I don't know. According to my people, I did. But my lover's mother came from your clan, the Otter Clan. He said you traced your kinship through the women. So he didn't consider me to be his cousin.
How does your clan trace its kinship?
Through the men.
Your lover was related to your father, then?
Yes. Icebrand was my father's brother's son.
He wouldn't have been your cousin so far as my clan is concerned. I've never heard his name before, though. What was his mother's name?
Windshadow.
Horseweed chewed his lower lip thoughtfully. For her sake, he prayed to above old man that someone had heard that name before.
Oh, don't worry. She must have left a long time ago. Maybe some of the clan elders will remember her.
I hope so, Horseweed.
Horseweed struggled against the weight of the travoy for over half a hand of time, then stopped. His legs ached. The muscles in his back felt strained and hot.
Are you all right?
I'm fine.
He smiled at her, trying to disregard his quivering limbs. Why did Sunchaser have to be so heavy? He threw himself into the struggle again, forcing himself forward. The last thing he would let this pretty Kestrel think was that Horseweed was a weakling. The moon had slid halfway across the sky, and sweat ran down Horseweed's sides in trickling rivulets. His legs shook as the poles ate into the skin on his hips.
Could I help? Maybe if I...
No! I'm fine.
Horseweed glared at the steep hill before him and called up yet another fistful of energy from his empty reserves. When he reached the next level spot, he paused, taking another breather.
My village is over that next rise.
He turned to look at Kestrel.
Are you going in with me?
Kestrel's eyes narrowed as she gazed at the hill.
I guess I... Horseweed, I'm not leaving Sunchaser. Not again.
And what about your husband?
I don't know. I just don't know. But go on. I'll follow you in.
Horseweed watched her smooth her fingers over her atlatl and knocked dart, and he started to climb the rise.
Kestrel, don't attack him first. No matter how frightened you are, my people... they wouldn't understand.
Thank you, Horseweed. I don't know the ways of your people, and I need your help.
She unknocked her dart, then tied her atlatl to her belt and gazed at her long dart, as if wondering what to do with it.
You can put it in my quiver if you want. I'll stay close by you. You'll be able to reach it, I think, if you need it.
Thank you.
Kestrel walked forward and slipped her dart into his quiver. He dropped his eyes back to the trail.
You're a brave woman. Stay behind me. If trouble starts, I'll reach for my own atlatl. No one will question my actions to protect you.
They passed Harrier's empty camp. The fire had burned down to flickering red coals. the scent of smoke mixed with the fragrance of the dew-soaked meadow where Harrier's lodge stood. From the corner of his eye, Horseweed saw that Kestrel's legs had started to shake so badly that she could barely walk. His own legs were shaky too, though for different reasons.
Come on, Horseweed, just a little farther. Sunchaser called you a man. Prove it!
He leaned into the travois, every muscle in his body rebelling. Kestrel bit her lip. On top of the hill, Horseweed's kin had built up the central fire. About 2 dozen people stood in view, talking. A wavering golden aura arced over the camp, blotting out the stars. Her expression betrayed the fact that she was living a nightmare, one she had suffered through 1,000 times. But she stiffened her muscles and kept on walking. That courage steeled Horseweed's flagging endurance. He nodded to himself. This night would be a test for both of them. Hers of the strength of her soul, his of the strength of his body. He licked dry lips, placing one foot in front of the other as he dragged the travois up the western trail toward the village. Horseweed halted before the crest of the hill. He glanced at Kestrel over his shoulder, firelight gleaming on his sweaty face.
Ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Dust sparkled faintly in the gleam of firelight, stirred up by the feet of the people who milled nervously in the plaza. Kestrel watched, her soul panicked, as she and Horseweed crested the hill. His pace had slowed while he examined the scene. The elders sat in a ring around the fire, their hides pulled over their shoulders. The rest of the village crowded around behind them, shouldering one another aside to see better.
If that's my daughter, you have no right to keep her from me!
Kestrel leaned to the side to see Lambkill. The quartz crystal that hung around his neck glinted wildly.
Give me that baby!
The old woman Kestrel had seen earlier on the hilltop stood up from her crouch beside a young woman feeding a baby.
Cloud Girl.
Cloud Girl seemed well, contented. Kestrel wanted to weep.
We don't know whose baby this is. It may belong to your wife, Lambkill, but it may not.
If that baby is hers, it belongs to me!
The old man across the fire from Lambkill shifted and narrowed his eyes.
Not according to our clan laws. Not even if you are the father, Lambkill, as you've yet to say you are. The Otter clan considers all children the property of their mothers.
Are you begging me to kill you? Don't you know what will happen if you don't turn my family over to me? The Bearlooks Back clan and the Blackwater Draw clan will band together to wipe the Otter clan from the face of the earth! Do you hear me, Oxbalm?
Yes, I do. And so do my warriors. I wouldn't say that again if I were you.
The name made Kestrel's heart pound. She mouthed it like a ceremonial prayer. Oxbalm, chief of the Otter clan. Was the woman to his left Sumac then? Horseweed had stiffened as he listened. Lambkill didn't move a muscle, but his gaze swept the faces in the crowd as though he'd forgotten that so many watched. All around him, men and women fidgeted with atlatls and bone stilettos. Half of them looked angry enough to dart Lambkill if Oxbalm so much as pointed at him. Horseweed accidentally dragged the travois over a rock that hid in a thick patch of grass. The travois bounced, and Sunchaser almost slid off. Lambkill spun in their direction.
Who's there? What's happening?
People whirled to stare. A boy near the old woman lunged to his feet.
Horseweed!
Horseweed, let's put the travois down. We're close enough, aren't we?
Her stomach curdled. In the subdued light of the fire, she really saw Sunchaser for the first time, and all of Horseweed's comforting words about how the dreamer would not die flew away like petals in the wind. Blood-soaked hair framed his gray face. He lay canted slightly to the left, with his right cheek resting on the travois frame. His lips and the flesh around his eyes had turned a pale blue.
Oh, spirits. Horseweed, put the travois down.
Horseweed immediately levered the travois off the rock and laid it flat. When he came around to stand beside Kestrel, he had his atlatl gripped in his hand and fear shone in his eyes.
Is he all right?
I don't know.
Kestrel dropped to her knees, steadying herself before she collapsed. She lifted Sunchaser's limp hand from where it had fallen to the ground and put it back on the travois.
He's going to be all right, Kestrel. Really. I've seen wounds like this before. And my grandparents won't let anyone hurt you.
He glanced over his shoulder at the people around the fire, pulled a dart from the quiver on his back, and knocked it in the hook of his atlatl.
Horseweed!
The old woman ran across the plaza, her gray braids swinging back and forth with her uneven stride. Behind her, a line of people followed, including Oxbalm. Kestrel tenderly smoothed her fingers over Sunchaser's face.
I love you. Live, Sunchaser, not just for me, but for everyone who needs you.
She closed her eyes for a moment, mustering her courage. The dew had soaked her moccasins. They chafed at her toes as she rose to her feet. Standing side by side, she and Horseweed blocked the view of the Travoy.
Easy, Kestrel. Don't move too fast or say too much. Use your head.
Kestrel!
Lambkill saw Kestrel, and her knees went weak. He took 2 running steps forward, but Tannin grabbed his arm and jerked him back. Lambkill shook off Tannin's hand. He stood still, hatred on his ugly face. Kestrel watched them for a moment. Lambkill looked older, his wrinkles deeper, his flat nose broader. His heavy jowls hung more loosely. The gray hair that brushed his shoulders fell in a stringy mass, as though he hadn't bathed in a moon. Soot and dirt covered his elk-hide pants and shirt. Tannin hadn't changed at all, except for the look in his eyes. Kestrel didn't see hatred there, as she'd expected to. If anything, she saw pity. The red-shirted youth muttered something to Lambkill, and when Lambkill nodded, he stalked across the plaza like a bull elk in rut. Dark circles of sweat stained the leather of his shirt beneath the arms and around his collar. When he was 20 paces from Horseweed, Helper bounded from the crowd and blocked his path. People faded back, creating a semicircle around Harrier, watching and pointing.
Get this dog out of my way! Whose dog is this?
That's Sunchaser's dog, Harrier. Leave him alone.
Despicable brat. I've never heard of Sunchaser having a dog. Get it out of my way before I slit its throat!
He pulled his knife from his belt sheath.
Go ahead. The dog is Sunchaser's spirit helper. You'll probably lose your sight or go deaf before you can even get close to Helper.
If this is Sunchaser's dog, where is Sunchaser? Get away from me! Go on!
Harrier brandished his atlatl at Helper, trying to make the animal get out of his path. Helper bared his teeth.
Kestrel, that old woman running in front of the others, that's my grandmother. The woman I told you about. Her name is Sumac.
Sumac ran forward and grabbed Horseweed to hug him.
Oh, you found her! Oh, you're a good tracker, grandson.
When she released Horseweed, she stepped hesitantly toward Kestrel. Kestrel reached out, took her withered hand, and held it tightly.
My name is Kestrel. I'm hoping very much that I'm related to you, Sumac.
So am I. I found your little girl. She's going to be all right. I promise you that.
Tears welled in Kestrel's eyes.
I knew you would take care of her. Bless you. But please, I don't want Lambkill to know she's my daughter. He'll find a way to kill her.
Then he'll never know.
Sumac turned to Horseweed, but saw Sunchaser lying on the Travoy behind Kestrel.
Oxbalm! Oh, Mother Ocean, no! Hurry! It's Sunchaser! He's hurt!
Everyone in the village rushed forward in a dark wave, except Lambkill and Tannin. They remained standing by the fire. Tannin had placed a restraining hand on Lambkill's forearm again while he spoke in a low voice. Kestrel wished she could hear what Tannin was saying. His forehead had furrowed deeply, while Lambkill's jaw clenched. Sumac pushed between Horseweed and Kestrel and crouched by Sunchaser's side. She pulled back his tattered shirt and saw the bloody slashes across his chest.
Oh, blessed spirits! What's happened, Horseweed? Was it a bear?
Oxbalm ran past Horseweed and straight to Sunchaser. His presence silenced the rest of the crowd.
Quickly. We must get him over to the fire so we can tend his wounds. Hurry.
Horseweed slipped his dart back into his quiver and settled his atlatl through his belt. He lifted the Travoy again.
Kestrel, do you want to walk at my side?
Yes, thank you.
She walked forward, and Horseweed tugged the Travoy toward the fire. Harrier glared hatefully at Kestrel as she passed. Her knees shook, but she kept her head high and clutched the hook of her atlatl in a death grip. People crowded around them and gazed wide-eyed at Sunchaser. Oxbalm caught up with Horseweed.
How long has Sunchaser been like this, grandson?
I don't know. From the way his blood is clotted, I guess he'd been attacked one, maybe two hands of time earlier.
Do you think it was a bear?
It could have been a lion, or a saber-toothed cat, or even...
Horseweed's mouth hung open. Why hadn't it occurred to him earlier?
Or a wolf, grandfather. Maybe a dire wolf.
Oxbalm's bushy gray brows lowered.
That's what I feared.
Sumac overheard their quiet exchange.
He wouldn't dare attack Sunchaser, would he? Where would he find the courage?
Do you mean catch straw? Sunchaser said...
Sumac jerked Kestrel's arm hard to silence her and glanced over her shoulder at another old woman who walked not far behind.
Yucca Thorn is one of Catstraw's admirers.
The skinny old hag had her head cocked, listening with the intensity of coyote hunting for the sound of mouse moving beneath the snow. Blood surged hotly through Kestrel's veins. Who would want to see Sunchaser hurt? Oxbalm leaned forward slightly.
Later tonight, Kestrel, I want to talk with you about this. Once we've taken care of Sunchaser.
I'll tell you what I know, and what Sunchaser suspected.
Sumac studied Kestrel thoughtfully.
What are you doing with Sunchaser? I've never known him to take up with a woman before.
He was bringing me to you. We went to your old village site, and tracked you down the beach to Whalebeard Village. There they told us where you'd made your new camp. But the rest, I'm afraid it's a long story.
I want to hear every word of it. Later.
Horseweed hauled the travoy to the opposite side of the fire and eased it down. The warmth of the flames touched Kestrel's face. The woman holding Cloud Girl to her breast sat only 10 hands away, but Kestrel couldn't look at the baby, couldn't give herself away to Lambkill. If she so much as dared to gaze at her daughter, such love and longing would color her face that he would know for certain whose child Cloud Girl was. Sumac took a young boy's hand.
Go fetch my bag of spirit plants, Balsam, and bring one of the water bags.
He raced away and ducked into the closest lodge. Horseweed stood by Kestrel, took his atlatl from his belt again, and calmly knocked a dart in the hook. He gave her an encouraging glance while people gathered around them, fighting to get a good glimpse of Sunchaser in the light. Once they'd assured themselves that he was alive, they stared at Kestrel with curiosity. She met each gaze with a bland expression. Balsam raced out of the lodge, carrying Sumac's beaded spirit plants bag and a water bag. He shouldered through the crowd and placed them at his grandmother's side.
Here, Grandmother!
Thank you, Balsam.
Sumac squinted at an old man who hovered over Sunchaser like a mother hen.
Dizzy Sheel, bring a boiling bag and a tripod. We need to warm some water so we can wash his wounds.
Yes, Sumac.
The old man trotted away.
Oxbalm, where's that hide you had over your shoulders earlier? Get it. Sunchaser is icy cold.
Kestrel knelt by Sunchaser's side and put a hand on his brow. Blessed spirits, he did feel cold. Her stomach cramped. She could feel eyes upon her, evaluating the way she touched Sunchaser, speculating about it. She fought to keep her emotions hidden.
Horseweed, could I have your knife, please?
He removed the finely napped chert blade from his belt and handed it to her, antler handle first.
Thank you.
She turned to Sumac, who knelt beside her.
I'm going to cut off Sunchaser's shirt, so we can get a better look at his chest.
Sumac nodded. Kestrel steadied her hands by clenching them tightly into fists, then reached out, peeled the blood-clotted hide back, and cut it away from Sunchaser's arms. Firelight fluttered over the wounds ripped by huge teeth. Kestrel worked silently, aware that Lambkill watched her with hatred in his eyes. She couldn't think about him, not yet. Not until she'd satisfied herself that Sunchaser had truly escaped death. While Kestrel finished sawing through the sleeves and gently peeling them back, revealing the bloody, bruised flesh beneath, Sumac took the boiling bag and tripod from Dizzy Seal and dropped 2 hot stones into the water. Next, she removed a small sack from her bag of spirit plants and unlaced it.
What is that?
Crushed greasewood mixed with sea salt. Evil spirits hate it because it tastes so bad. It keeps wounds clean. Will you help me wash them down?
Yes.
Sumac removed two dry, shriveled sponges from her bag and threw them both into the warm brew, where they swelled as they sucked up the water. Then she handed one of the dripping wet sponges to Kestrel, who held it over Sunchaser's chest and squeezed it out, making sure that the liquid pooled around the clotted blood. Sumac moved the tripod in between them, and Kestrel dipped her sponge again to soak Sunchaser's right arm, which was very badly clawed and chewed. Sumac squeezed her sponge out over Sunchaser's bitten legs.
Ah, blessed above, old man. I'd bet he's lost enough blood to fill a small pond.
When we found him, the pine duff around him was sodden with it.
It's no wonder he's unconscious. He's lucky he is. Keeps him from feeling the pain. Well, he just needs proper care. He'll be all right. Kestrel, I'll wash his legs if you finish up his chest and arms.
Kestrel nodded, dipped her sponge again, and gently started cleaning Sunchaser's left arm. Less severely wounded than the right, it took her almost no time to wash the bites there. Red blood flowed anew from the gashes. She wrung out her sponge and soaked it in the greasewood brew, preparing to start on Sunchaser's lacerated chest. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw Harrier push forward to stand on the opposite side of the fire. He fixed Kestrel with a look of loathing, his head tipped down and his massive brow shadowing his eyes.
Are you Kestrel, Lambkill's wife?
I was.
She painstakingly washed each claw gash on Sunchaser's broad, muscular chest.
Did you kill my brother?
Your brother?
Buffalo Bird. He was killed on the Oak Creek Trail, high in the hills. His murderer drove a taper-bowed stiletto through his heart. Did you do it?
Yes, I killed him.
The people's fire-lit faces showed shock and bewilderment. Even Horseweed swiveled to peer at her.
Oxbow! She admitted the murder! I now put in a claim on this woman. I ask you to grant me the right to take her back to my village so she may be judged by the Blackwater Draw Council.
The possibility didn't affect Kestrel at all. As long as Cloud Girl and Sunchaser were safe, what happened to her made little difference. She wet her sponge again and leaned over Sunchaser to clean his right arm further. This time, the thick crust of blood and pine needles melted beneath her warm sponge, revealing a deep slit. The wound had swollen and turned violet around the edges, but it didn't start bleeding again, much to her relief.
Just a moment.
Oxball moved to stand directly behind Sumac.
Why did you kill Buffalo Bird, Kestrel?
He told me that Lambkill had offered a reward for me. He started dragging me towards his camp. In the process, he told me that I would provide pleasure for him and his brothers, and that if I wasn't Kestrel, he and his brothers would kill me after they raped me. That way, the Otter Clan would never know that one of their relations, a lone woman, had been raped and murdered. My death would stop a war, Buffalo Bird said. I was defending myself.
Sumac threw Kestrel a knowing glance, and Kestrel bowed her head and clenched her jaw. Sumac seemed to understand that Lambkill had offered a reward for Kestrel, but nothing for her daughter. Did Sumac guess that Buffalo Bird had seen Cloud Girl as a worthless nuisance? It didn't matter. Kestrel could not mention Cloud Girl. Not even in her own defense, not without endangering her daughter. Lambkill's laugh turned Kestrel's blood to ice. Against her will, she started to shake again. To soothe herself, Kestrel dipped her sponge and began washing Sunchaser's handsome face. Just looking at him eased her terror. She sensed his presence around her like a protective shield. Lambkill shoved Tannin out of his way and walked around the fire. Horseweed shifted to stand in front of her, his atlatl in his hand, ready.
Get out of my way, boy. You've no right to keep me from my wife.
I'll move when she asks me to.
Horseweed didn't know her, yet he bravely stood between her and death. Iceplant had been right about the Otter Clan. They were honorable people. Lamkill's steely gaze shifted to Kestrel. She finished cleaning Sunchaser's wounds and dropped her sponge into the boiling bag. Folding her shaking hands in her lap, she clenched them tightly, keeping them away from her atlatl, and dared to look her husband full in the face. Lamkill's eyes blazed with malice.
No one can protect you, Kestrel! You hear me? I gave you everything and you turned against me. You grew as cold as ice!
You beat the warmth out of me, Lamkill.
The beatings were for your own good! I had to teach you how to behave like a proper wife!
Kestrel felt so numb that she stopped shaking. She focused on Sunchaser, remembering his gentleness. Sick, dead, tens of tens of tens of cycles from now in the land of the dead, the memories of his warm body against hers would comfort her. She placed her fingertips on his wrist, letting the steady rhythm of his heart brace her.
You're a bitch in heat. Everybody knows you spread yourself to the first man to walk past. First, you commit incest with your cousin, then you seduce a dreamer. For the sake of a buff old man, is no one beyond your witchery?
At the word, Horseweed tensed as if he'd been slapped. A glint sharpened in Oxbalm's eyes, and Dizzy Seal stepped back uneasily. Sumac threw her sponge into the boiling bag, gave Lamkill a scornful look, and reached over to put a cold hand on Kestrel's arm.
Now, tell us the truth, Kestrel. Did you commit incest?
Kestrel peered into those keen old eyes, a woman's eyes, filled with more knowledge about clan matters than Kestrel would ever have, and she knew she would be treated fairly.
I don't know, Sumac. According to the Bear Looks Back clan, yes, I did. But my lover claimed to be from your clan since his mother was. Because he was my father's brother's son, he didn't call me his cousin.
The hand on Kestrel's arm tightened until it hurt. Sumac nodded.
What was his mother's name?
Windshadow.
Kestrel turned with her heart in her throat. She couldn't make out the woman's face until she shouldered her way into the light. It was the old hag who'd been following Kestrel earlier, the one named Yuccathorn.
Windshadow was my granddaughter. She was stolen from my daughter when barely 10 summers old. We never knew what happened to her. Is she still alive? Where is she?
No, I'm sorry. She died when Iceplant, her son, was very young. She was killed in a raid. But she never forgot you. She told Iceplant stories about all of you, every night until her death. My clan expected Iceplant to claim kinship through his father, but he never did. He always considered himself related to you. He wanted to bring me here, to live with you, so our children could be born and raised in the ways of the Otter clan.
Then you weren't his cousin!
Yuccathorn fixed Lamkill with a glare of disgust.
Your wife didn't commit incest!
She turned back to Kestrel.
Where's the baby you're supposed to have with you? Is she the child we found tonight? That baby would be my great-great-grandchild!
Kestrel lowered her eyes and gazed at Sunchaser's bruised face.
My baby died. The journey was so difficult, so long. Finding food was very hard. She died right after she was born.
Oh!
Old Yuccathorn's bony shoulders sagged forward, and the wrinkled lids over her faded brown eyes blinked.
Blessed spirits! I was hoping... at least you're safe.
Yuccathorn lifted her ancient face to peer sternly at Kestrel.
If you're willing, young woman, I'll adopt you into this clan as part of my family. My great-grandson loved you. That's enough proof of your character for me. I'd like the chance to know you myself.
Lamkill's eyes darted through the crowd. People studied Kestrel intently. They noticed that everything seemed to enrage Lamkill. First, her touching of Sunchaser, then the argument about tracing kinship. Lamkill set his jaw.
You're a filthy woman! Filthy! She's done terrible things. Other things you can't imagine. My people condemned her to death for her monstrous crimes. She murdered my son. My little boy, he was so tiny. Just born.
Lamkill slipped the pack from his back and held it out to the crowd.
This baby!
Lamkill, no!
Lamkill halted for a moment, as though considering the warning. It was the cry of a wounded animal, or of a man nearby coming up the eastern trail.
What's happening?
Sumac rose to her knees and squinted past the glare of the fire.
Who is that?
Blessed spirits. It's Catstraw, Grandmother.
Horseweed clutched his atlatl more securely.
He's staggering. It looks like he's been hurt, too.
He loped forward and the crowd dispersed abruptly. Helper charged toward the thin, tall man with the gray-streaked black hair.
Oxbomb! Oxbomb, this is your fault!
As Helper closed, Catchstraw jabbed the dart point toward him. Helper veered off, circling. Catchstraw wore only a breech clout and carried the dart in his hand like a firebrand. Horrifying wounds covered his skinny body, and blood trickled down his pale skin in bright, crooked patterns. He held his free hand pressed against a wound in his shoulder, hindering the rush of blood, but the long gash down his left side flowed unheeded. Kestrel noticed the gore that crusted over the wound on his right thigh, just beneath the flap of his buckskin breech clout. That was what made him limp so.
Get out of my way!
Catchstraw slashed at people with his long dart.
I despise all of you. Do you hear me? Every single one of you!
The mob faded back, creating a path for him. He dragged himself forward, sliding his bad leg. His hooked nose flared repulsively, as if tormented by a gruesome stench.
Sun Chaser! Where's Sun Chaser? What have you done with him, Oxbomb?
Yuckathorn spun.
Over here! He's lying by the fire, Catchstraw!
Oxbomb, look at me. Look! Sun Chaser attacked me while I was out gathering plants by the light of the moon. He caught me off guard, darted me in the shoulder, and tried to slit my throat with his knife. He's no dreamer! He's a murderer!
Kestrel's hand slipped down to her atlatl. This man looked insane enough to attack Oxbomb, Sun Chaser, or anyone else who got in his way. Catchstraw's malignant gaze fell upon Kestrel with such power that she flinched.
Sun Chaser's evil. He's been consorting with wicked women, satiating his lust in their flesh.
He turned to Oxbomb.
And you've been defending Sun Chaser, calling him great and good. You old fool. He's betrayed us all!
You're a liar!
Lamkill's laughter struck her like a slap in the face. Horseweed glanced at Kestrel in panic.
Shh! Don't say anything. You don't need to make enemies so soon.
Horseweed lifted his atlatl and spread his feet, ready to drive the long point into any enemy. He wet his lips anxiously as he glowered at Catchstraw.
You're the one who's betrayed us, you witch! I call you a witch, Catchstraw! I accuse you of witching Sun Chaser and attacking him in the form of Dire Wolf!
You accuse me? Me, a witch! What proof?
Look at Sun Chaser's wounds! They were clearly made by an animal! Look at the claw and bite marks if you fought with him and made those wounds!
Kestrel's heart thundered when people surged forward like a tidal wave, closing in around the fire, peering at Catchstraw in amazed terror, then glancing disbelievingly at Horseweed and Sun Chaser. Horseweed stood his ground, though he looked as if his nerves thrummed.
I call Catchstraw a witch, too.
So do I!
Dizzy Seal chimed in from where he stood to Horseweed's left, looking very small and frightened. Oxbalm lifted his hands for silence. The gathering seemed to split before Kestrel's eyes, half of it aligning behind Catchstraw and half drifting in Oxbalm's direction. Catchstraw lifted his chin smugly. She noticed the beads of perspiration that dotted people's foreheads. Many of the men had knocked their atlatls and stood poised to cast at the slightest provocation. Kestrel glanced at the woman who held Cloud Girl. She looked more scared than anyone, her eyes wide, her mouth ajar. Oxbaum stepped forward.
It's true. Catchstraw is a witch. For weeks, Sumac, Dizzy Seal, Horseweed, Balsam, and I have been seeking out and finding the evidence of his witchery.
What evidence?
Yuccathorn strode up to stand at Catchstraw's right. Her withered face had a pinched look.
Name one thing Catchstraw has done that suggests he's a witch.
Out in the forest, he's been leaving perverted mazes. Sunchaser's mazes ruined by Catchstraw's hand. He's been drawing over the lines, confusing them, erasing some and destroying others.
Sunchaser stirred feebly, and Kestrel smoothed his hot brow, brushing wet hair away from his face.
That's no evidence! If you're accusing Catchstraw of witching, you'd better have more proof than that! You know Catchstraw never believed in the maze. He said it led nowhere. Maybe he was trying to fix it, to correct Sunchaser's errors so the maze would be useful, the way Wolf Dreamer intended it to be.
At the repetition of his name, Sunchaser awoke. He looked as if it took every ounce of strength he possessed to open his eyes. When he saw Kestrel, his mouth tensed, and he struggled to rise.
No, Sunchaser. It's all right. You're in Otter Clan Village. You're safe.
Kestrel, run. Your husband...
Yes, I know. It's all right. Save your strength. You're going to need it to get well.
If Sunchaser thinks he's been witched by someone, let him name his assailant.
What?
Feebly, Sunchaser squinted across the fire, probably seeing nothing but the glare that swelled so high that it drove the moonlight back.
They want you to name the witch, the person who attacked you in the forest.
Catchstraw, witching the maze. His dire wolf attacked me on trail.
Catchstraw lifted his dart and dove at Sunchaser.
No,
Kestrel leaped forward and grabbed Catchstraw's arm, dragging him sideways to the ground. He slammed a fist into her face. In fury, Kestrel clawed Catchstraw's wounded shoulder. Catchstraw bashed her in the head with his elbow. She landed on her side on the cold ground.
Look out! Get out of the way! He's going after Sunchaser again!
Horseweed's dart lanced clear through Catchstraw's right arm as he fell atop Sunchaser in a fit.
No, Benson! No! No, stop! Get back, everyone! Stop now!
The people around the fire broke away and ran in confusion. Horseweed leaped on Catchstraw and tore him from Sunchaser. They rolled, slamming fists into each other. Suddenly, a calloused hand clamped over Kestrel's mouth. Powerful arms jerked her roughly to her feet and shoved her through the crowd and around to the rear of the closest lodge. Kestrel jerked her atlatl from her belt. Lambkill batted it away effortlessly. Horror gripped her like the fists of doom. He slammed a fist into her stomach so hard that her feet went out from under her.
Didn't I tell you I'd kill you, my wife, if I ever found you with another man?
Lambkill covered her mouth again, hauled her upright, and dragged her down the slope.
Lambkill! Lambkill!
Through blurry eyes, Kestrel saw Tannen sprinting down the hill, his jaw clenched, his eyes wide. Lambkill shifted, hooking his left arm around Kestrel's throat so he could use his right hand to draw his knife. The blade glinted with a pewter gleam.
Stay back, Tannen!
Lambkill pulled Kestrel with him as he backed up.
Get away! I don't need any more of your advice.
Tannen halted a body's length away, unslung his quiver of darts and his atlatl, and laid them on the ground.
I mean you no harm, my brother.
He stood and spread his hands.
Listen to me, Lambkill. Just let her go. There's no point in hurting her. What good will it do now? Let's go home. I miss my wife, Lambkill. And I want to take you home. You need rest. It's over.
Tannen took a step forward. Lambkill jerked Kestrel backward.
Tannen, please.
Lambkill brandished his knife, but he kept glancing at the commotion on the hilltop. Kestrel's fear for herself paled when she saw Catchstraw standing there.
Sunchaser is the witch! Look at the bite and the claw marks on my body! He's the one who's learned to become a dire wolf! He devised the accursed maze in the first place. Gather stones. We must stone him to death now, before he has a chance to regain his strength.
From the corner of her vision, Kestrel saw people running around the fire. Were Ketchstraw's followers gathering stones?
My brother, you've been a coward this entire journey. Always whining, complaining, wanting to go home.
Now that we're at the end, you can't stand to go through with it.
Well, I don't need you. I never have. Go on! I can kill my wife by myself. Get away from here! Go!
Tannen licked his lips and took another step closer, raising his hands, showing that they were empty, harmless.
You know this is wrong, Lamkil. We've already killed her lover and caused the death of her little girl by—
You can't believe that! Do you think that baby found in the forest tonight was left by the Thunder Beings?
Let her go. She'll never come back to Juniper Village. That's punishment enough. She'll never see her mother or her grandmother again, never see any of the friends she's had since childhood. Even if the Otter Clan adopts her, she'll still be alone among strangers. What else?
Are you blind as well as a coward?
With the slow expertise of a killer, Lamkil waved his knife before Kestrel's eyes and gradually lowered it to her belly, where he pressed the tip hard against her.
You saw the healthy way she touched Sunchaser. If we let her go, she'll still have him.
If Sunchaser lives! But so what? Why should we care? You know the stories about women unfortunate enough to be snared into marriage with the Dreamer. They're miserable.
Tannen spread his arms wide in a negligent gesture and shook his head.
Come on, Lamp. Let's go. Kestrel isn't important enough to cause this rift between us. You're my brother, and I—
He leaped forward and grabbed Lamkil's knife hand. Lamkil shoved Kestrel to the dirt. Tannen kicked Lamkil's feet out from under him and fell on his brother. Kestrel crawled away, trying to find a rock or a branch to use as a club.
Oh, you traitor! You've always hated me.
That's not true, Lamkil. I love you. I've always loved you. That's why I came on this journey with you.
Lamkil twisted, throwing Tannen first one way, then the other, until he could bring up his knees and bash Tannen in the groin. When Tannen bent double, Lamkil shoved him over on his back, seized the knife, and straddled him. Kestrel lunged forward with a stone upraised, but before she could strike him, Lamkil slashed out with his knife. He cut a deep wound in her right thigh. She stumbled sideways and fell.
Lamkil! Don't do this!
Tannen fought to keep his grip on his brother's knife hand. Lamkil's skin seemed to slip from his grasp like a wet eel.
I've wanted to kill you for over a moon, brother!
Lamkil! You don't know what you're saying! You're not well! That baby has made you...
Don't you speak about my son! Never talk about him! You wanted him dead! I made him live!
Lamkil tore his hand free from Tannen's grip. Tannen flailed desperately at Lamkil, but Lamkil only caught his arms and pinned them over Tannen's head, staring his brother in the eyes as the blood drained from his slit throat. Each panicked pumping of Tannen's lungs blew a crimson spray over Lamkil's face and chest. Red bubbles frothed at Tannen's lips as his mouth worked in soundless pleas. He kicked and squirmed against Lamkil's hold. Kestrel limped away up the hill.
Help! Horsweet! Horsweet, I'm down here, Sumac! You got the horn now!
I'm coming! I'm right behind you! Hear my footsteps?
The trail was steep, and her moccasins slipped on the dew-slick grass.
I'm almost on top of you! Soon you'll be dead!
Kestrel stumbled and fell to her knees. She slid 10 hands back down the grassy slope on her stomach. When she rolled to her back and scrambled to rise, she found Lamkil leaning over her, a savage glitter in his eyes. The faint reflection of the village bonfire coated his jowls as they shook with laughter.
Oh, yes, my loving wife. It's time we left here, you and I, together.
He extended a hand to her in such a genial way that it terrified her.
No!
Kestrel twisted sideways to dive headfirst down the slope. She tumbled like a loose boulder, sliding and rolling uncontrollably. Her wounded leg struck the tree so hard that when she scrambled to her feet to run, she could only stagger forward with agonizing slowness. A hand twined in her long hair and jerked her backward to the ground, where she sobbed and kicked aimlessly. Lamkill bent over her, his mouth twisted into a grin. His quartz crystal necklace swung back and forth above her face, reflecting the silver light in prismatic patterns.
Come, wife. I have someone I want you to meet.
He gripped her arm hard and dragged her to her feet. By sheer brute force, Lamkill hustled her out across the meadow and into the blackness of the forest.